If you like the strange and unusual happening in our world told to you in story form, you're in the right place. And if you're new to this channel, please know we have a sister channel. And so we have A Stranger World Than Fiction and They Call Me the Ghost. And we also have our podcasts. Like, subscribe, and join the conversation for all things strange. Do you ever get the urge to go to the scariest place in Sicily, Italy? I'm talking about the catacombs in Palermo, arrayed in crypts and churches with leering skulls and parchment skin. The dead bodies in Sicily have long kept mute, but now, centuries later, these creepy cadavers, they have plenty to say. 5 years into the Sicily Mummy Project, six macabre collections are offering scientists a fresh look at life and death on the Mediterranean island from the late 16th century to the mid-20th. We look at a lot of strange but true things happening in our world. And these catacombs, they're well known at this point, right? A lot of people know that they exist, and a lot of people want to go visit them just out of curiosity. Is it really as it seems? And some people go because they just want to get freaked out. But if you want to actually learn something about what's going on in these catacombs, keep listening. For one thing, they have done a lot of research. They put together their team, and this would be the Sicily Mummy Project. Six macabre collections are offering scientists a fresh look at life and death on the Mediterranean island from, let's say, the 16th century to the 20th century. Led by an anthropologist of the Department of Cultural Heritage and Sicilian Identity in Palermo, the ongoing investigation is revealing how religious men and women and their wealthy supporters ate, interacted, dealt with disease, and disposed of their dead. These mummies are a unique treasure in terms of both biology and history. They can tell us a lot if they're studied appropriately, and that's what they wanted to do. Not only is it something that's astounding to realize it actually exists, but what was going on with these people? In the case of the Sicilian mummies, this would mean they needed to do X-ray exams, CT scans, and this is on top of any invasive sampling and autopsy. They wanted to go this route to see what else they could learn from the obvious. Radiographic techniques preserve the specimens, the oldest of which dates all the way back to 1599, when Capuchin friars began mummifying clergy, then nobles, and then others who helped to secure blessed afterlives, even as they peeked inside. And so as they start doing this, what are they finding? I mean, everything is so old. It's amazing what they actually can deduce after studying things like this. So for one thing, they find that these guys had a great diet. They can tell that these mummies, well, when they were people, right, they ate meat, fish, grains, lots of vegetables, and yes, dairy products, which are somewhat of a taboo for some nowadays. But that gastronomic effluence came with a price. Radiographs of the bones also show signs of maladies like gout and skeletal disease, which, the anthropologist says, tended to afflict the middle and upper classes in pre-industrial societies. That's interesting. And of course, wealth couldn't protect people from aging. More than two-thirds of these bodies show signs of degenerative disorders, probably because most were older adults when they died. And then even with the healthier diets, medicine back then isn't anywhere close to where it is now. So unfortunately, some of these deaths that they were seeing, they could have been prevented in today's times. There are so many unlikely discoveries that are still coming out of this place. For instance, when they studied the intestines, they were able to find out with one subject in particular that this guy had a form of cancer. But they were surprised to find out that he was using plant therapies to help with his problem. This is something that was only common to China and Turkey at the time. So somehow this was spreading to Sicily, something that they didn't know before. In another study involving students, it was a pilot program, one of the students found an enormous whipworm infection. Ever heard of that? Well, it involved more than 600 worms in the mummy's intestinal tract. This guy also concluded that because the man had been sick with other diseases as well, his immune system was vulnerable to this whipworm. It's a fecal-borne parasite disease, usually only associated with people in poverty, which piques some interest. They say, from all these intestinal findings, we can put together a pretty interesting picture. Though this individual, for example, was well-to-do in their lives, one can speculate that his activities brought him into contact with the lower classes. This shows how we can create a thumbnail sketch about his disease, his diet, as well as his time of death even, from inside the mummy. So this is incredible that something this old can still tell us so much. And I'm betting when you think of those catacombs in Sicily, the place gives you more of the shivers instead of you wondering how they lived their lives and what they ate and when they died. These mummifications in Sicily usually went like this. They meant stowing a body in a ventilated chamber. Then they would drain the body of all of its fluid and then stuff it with straw or bay leaves to preserve its shape and combat the stink of death. Months later, yes, months, it would be washed with vinegar and then dressed in its Sunday best and laid in a coffin or hung on a wall. This was a very long process, and it was very detailed. The more recently mummified, like the 2-year-old Rosalia, Sleeping Beauty they call her, who died of pneumonia in 1920 and lies with 1,251 others in these catacombs in Palermo, they were embalmed with more modern techniques and chemicals, and therefore they were better preserved. So they're finding out so much more about what's going on with these people that have been laid to rest in these catacombs. What's next? Well, as you might have guessed, these scientists are eager to perform DNA investigations on these mummies, including those at newly studied collections in the towns of Kakamo and Ganji, where wax was particularly used to create partial and complete death masks to help understand how they might be related. But with moisture and humidity and dust preying on some of these collections, particularly those at Palermo, time could be running out. Something they know and have realized since King Tut and his tomb was opened, they really need to get air conditioning in these places so that these bodies stay preserved. And this is good to hear because a lot of times things are taken for personal use, somehow, and then also people take things only for scientific study, but here they're respecting the death process that they were doing way back then, and they want to study them, but they also want to preserve them out of that respect. For many years, it's known that the subject of death was taboo in Sicily. In the 20th century, things like the 2 world wars, somehow influenced the approach that Sicilians had toward death. It was seen as something other than the part of life that it is. They just didn't want to talk about it. It was taboo, like I said. Now, given the scientific importance of what is emerging with these mummies, people are understanding that in Sicily, death has always been a part of life. And for centuries, many Sicilians were using mummification to make sure they could maintain that constant relationship between life and death. Have any of you been to these catacombs? And what do you think of mummification? Share your thoughts, let me know. And thank you for listening. And until next time, I will talk to you all soon.